I'm going to take a guess that the folks here today, all the way back to all the way to the front, want to spend eternity as close to God as they possibly can. Just a guess. Probably a safe guess. And I'm going to also guess that the people here in this room want to spend each day of their life, every day that we have, walking as close to Jesus as we possibly can. Just a guess, but safe guess? Yes. You might say that that makes us somewhat like that person the Charity just read about, Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a man who came to Jesus. You might say that he wasn't strong enough or maybe brave enough to come to Jesus during the daytime. He actually came at night. He came to Jesus and he was taking a little bit of a risk because he was a leader in that community, and Jesus was a person that where Jesus went, there's so much amazing and positive things going on. But there was controversy, especially from the Jewish leaders. So Nicodemus went to Jesus at night for a one-on-one conversation with Jesus. And that shows that Nicodemus was possibly a coward. Or maybe he was using discretion. You know, sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. Or maybe he hadn't figured it all out yet. That he was still kind of working on the challenge of the message and the witness and the power of Jesus. Or maybe a combination of all of the above. Which again, makes Nicodemus pretty relatable. Someone that we can kind of say, sounds like me sometimes, or a lot of the time. I'm a little bit careful, especially when there's controversy swirling, when I'm in an environment where there's people who have all kinds of different views on things. I sometimes am careful. And sometimes I use discretion on what I do and say, and I'm still working on some things. When Jesus met Nicodemus face to face, wow, just imagine. Jesus welcomed Nicodemus's questions. And he held nothing back. He even pushed back a little bit with Nicodemus, kind of acknowledging that Nicodemus, you're a pretty high status guy. You've got a collection of all kinds of wisdom and knowledge. You really should know a lot of these things, but I'm going to help you. In my metaphor of using baseball, feel real comfortable using this baseball as a metaphor thing or sports in general. I feel like Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, wow, you can really swing the bat. I mean, you can knock the snot out of the ball, okay? You know, you have a really high WAR, W-A-R, you know? That's a baseball term or acronym. He's saying, Nicodemus, you have the ability to be out there on the field. You got WAR as wins above replacement. But if you hit the ball and you go, starting to go around the bases, and you miss first base, if you don't touch it, if you step to the side of it, or if you step over it, you don't score. It's just the rules. You might run around the bases, but if you don't step on first base in route, you'll be declared out, and your run won't count. It happened in 1942. The New York Yankees were playing the Washington Senators for the World Series, and it was tied up 3 games apiece, and in the 9th inning, New York was the away team, so they were up first, and they went down in order. Then the Senators came up, Washington Senators, they came up, and it's 2 outs. Last batter up. It's going to go into extra innings. The guy hits a long, look like home run, but it hit the just below the top of the wall. Lands in center left field, and he's running around the bases. He's starting to slow up like he's going to stop at third. But the third base coach is waving him around to score an inside the park home run. He slides in just before the catcher's tag, big cloud of smoke. And the umpire says, "You're out." And the dugout empties of players and managers from the Washington Senators side. They're all up in arms. He was safe. "Okay," says the umpire. "Let me confer with the other umps." They conferred and they talked. And then he came out, "You're out." Because the first base umpire said, "What? You didn't step on first base." Well, when Jesus goes on to talk to Nicodemus, because he asked, you know, he didn't use a sports metaphor like I just did. He used human biology as a metaphor. He used words like birth, womb, being born. And I'm going to guess, again, that the people here have some familiarity with birth. Say yes. A person cannot enter the kingdom of God. They cannot even see the kingdom of God unless they are born, and the Greek word is anothen. Born again. Or it's more commonly translated, born from above, from on high, that is, from heaven. Jesus is saying that Nicodemus cannot see the kingdom of God because he's not yet received spiritual birth from heaven, that is, from God. So he's saying, "Nicodemus, you need to be gifted. Don't fail to be gifted. Don't miss out on receiving the most precious of God's gifts, that God loves you, that God can forgive you of your sins. Born of water, that God will give you spiritual gifts, born of the Spirit." A question that was asked in the first week of Soul Reset is, "What is grace?" And when I think of, there's so many really excellent answers to what is grace. But an attempt looking at John chapter 3 might be, first of all, God loves you. God loves every person. God loves the scoundrels, and he loves the peacemakers. God loves the protesters for justice on the street, and God loves the riot shield bearing tear gas wielding police on the other side of the demonstration. God loves the combatants on either side, both sides of a conflict. God loves us. And that is grace. But there's more. God can forgive you, and he wants to draw you so close to him as you seek forgiveness. When I'm carrying burdens of sin, and I'm avoiding that space of prayer, that daily or every several days or maybe once a month, or hey, there can be some gaps in our prayer lives, right? Amen? It happens. When I'm finally in that space where I'm asking God, just here's my soul. Here, I want to kind of come before you. And I want to see myself as you see me. How is it with your soul, Ben, is what I ask myself. So this talk brings some self-knowledge. And God begins to hear about my burdens and about the environment I'm living in. And then towards the end, I say, "And yes, God, please forgive my sins." And God forgives my sins. Like he forgave my sins the very first time I called upon the name of Jesus in my life. That is grace. And then finally, grace, when Jesus said, you must be born of water and the Spirit. Born of water, be washed, forgiven, and be born of the Spirit. Be gifted with these gifts of God's Spirit. These gifts where God is enthusiastic about gifting us. Jesus uttered this important line, very truly I tell you, nobody can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and Spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of Spirit is Spirit. Don't be astonished when I say to you, you must be born from above. Are you born again? Born from above? Have we touched first base? Signifying baptized, cleansed, forgiven, given new birth, justified, made right, the washing of water. And even the scriptures use this phrase. I love this phrase in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The word of God being washed by the water of the word. That makes sense to me. Sometimes I feel that when I'm reading the Bible. I almost feel like it's the word of God washing me. And have you been born of the Spirit, signifying receiving, being blessed, sanctified, filled with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And those fruits, Paul wrote them out in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and meekness. And self-controlled. Or one translation I love in a song is, and being born of a strong mind. Born of water. Oh, I want us to go out from this place today much quicker to ask God for forgiveness. Let his word wash over us, and may we find that cleansing in his grace of forgiveness. I would love people to go out from here today and say, I love, oh, what a great list of those 9 fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Even if I only remember 3, that's pretty awesome. Being washed, born of water and Spirit. For God, in that amazing John 3:16. You've seen those signs at football games. John 3:16. For God so loved. Ooh, that word so. 2 letters. God so loved. You know what I say? I so love my wife. I so love my kids. I so love my grandkids. You know what I'm saying. That word, S-O, it's important. I'm not going to just go around and say to each one of you, I so love you. You might kind of just see a little K. God didn't kind of love the world. He so loved the world. And it wasn't that he said, I so love the church. I so love the people that pray to me. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever would believe in him, believe, to trust in him, to obey him, to walk in the love. There's all kinds of verbs to believe. In the Gospel of John is really, really underscore a verb. And yet, John Wesley, who started up our whole Methodist movement, oh, I've read his journals. I've read them pretty carefully, pretty deeply. Let me go back to the baseball metaphor. He's one of those guys. He was a great hitter. He could really hit the ball. He walloped the ball a lot. But he was one of those guys. You got to love him, his humility. He kept running around first, but he would stop somewhere around first, second, and he would go, did I touch first base? And then he'd get up to the plate again. He'd walk the ball again. It was a long, long fly. He'd be going around and going around the bases. He'd get about to second and third. He'd go, uh-oh, I'm not sure I touched first base. Kind of like when you forget, did I turn the stove off? Did I lock the front door? But that's John Wesley. He'd get up again and he'd knock the ball far, far. He's running around the bases and he gets up around third. And he goes, I don't know if I touched first base. And that's one night in Epworth, above the church there at Epworth. It's like God spoke to his heart as he's rounding the bases. He said, John, you touched first base. We've got it on video up here. There's a big cloud of chalk. Every time you've smacked that base, you touched first base. But some of us may even here today say, I'm not sure I'm really born again. Born again means believing. It's having faith. It's having trust and being obedient and walking in love. What John Wesley received on that day when he heard God or felt God in his heart, that warmth in that heart, was not he finally became a born-again Christian. It was he finally found assurance of his faith. And that's one of the gifts of John's life, his testimony. So Nicodemus, what about him? Did he actually end up touching first base? Well, we find out later in this chapter 7 that he begins to be an advocate for Jesus, defending Jesus in front of the Jewish council of leaders. And then towards the end of the gospel in chapter 19, he accompanies Joseph of Arimathea and with an exorbitant amount of spices, some say 100 pounds of spices, removing Jesus' body from the cross, preparing him for burial. I would say it's good he had that late night face-to-face encounter with Jesus so that he could live courageously, living close by to the very end, the life of Jesus.